The race for governor is not the only statewide political contest during primary season. Republicans and Democrats will also choose their favorite candidate to run for the state's top consumer watchdog, Commissioner of Agriculture and Consumer Services. This is Florida Matters.
Support for Florida Matters comes from the National Foundation for Transplants. Right now, hundreds of Tampa residents need an organ transplant they can't afford. You can join National Foundation for Transplants' Operation Second Chance at transplants.org to learn how to help give someone a second chance at life.
From the studios of WUSF Public Media, I'm Robin Sussingham. Florida Matters is continuing our special two-part program this week to bring you conversations with many of the candidates running for two important state offices, Attorney General and Commissioner of Agriculture. Yesterday, we heard from those hoping to be the state's top prosecutor. Today, the race for Ag Commissioner. In the first half of the show, we'll hear from the three Democratic candidates, Fort Lauderdale lobbyist Nikki Fried, Roy David Walker of Broward County, president of the South Florida Audubon Society, and Homestead Mayor Jeff Porter. Then we'll hear from the two Republican candidates in the second half of the show. All were interviewed by Tom Hudson with NPR member station WLRN in Miami and the editorial page editors of the Miami Herald, South Florida Sun Sentinel, and Palm Beach Post. We begin by hearing the Democrats introduce themselves.
Jeffrey Porter, born in Homestead, mayor of Homestead. It's Miami-Dade County is the second largest producer of ag products in the state. Over the years that I've been, involved, agriculture has really been under pressure and is literally dying in South Florida. And being involved in politics, being elected for 15 years, I felt like it was the time to move into something else where I could help the community in a larger scale. And obviously the consumer services aspect of it as well. You know, we've got a lot of older population that just get taken advantage of. And being number one in fraud is really not something we should wear proudly.
I'm Roy David Walker. I decided to run for Commissioner of Agriculture because as an environmental biologist working for the state of Florida and U.S. government, politics got in the way of my research. When I was working with the state of Florida, I was working with Florida Fish and Wildlife as well as volunteering with the Environmental Department Agency. And as I traveled the state and talked about different issues, I wasn't allowed to use the word climate change. And that's when I decided to become more active in politics. So I'm looking to use my science background to grow the agriculture industry and to conserve our environment, especially our water, just as important to protect our consumers. Yeah, we are number one in fraud and number two at identity theft. And that's from the gas pump. That's from the do not call list. And these are systems that fall underneath the Commissioner of Agriculture, and nothing has been done over the years.
My name is Nikki Fried. I'm running for this position because I have seen how Tallahassee is broken. And with my leadership skills and my knowledge of how the state works and things that I've been working for, saw this as an opportunity to go up to Tallahassee, make a difference, bring agriculture into new light, into new face, into new technology, and going towards more expansion of medical marijuana as far as also industrial hemp.
Howard Goodman, editorial writer of the Palm Beach Post.
What role would the Agriculture Commissioner play in medical marijuana?
First off, already inside the Department of Agriculture, it oversees the pesticides, which is every single one of the growers has to deal with pesticides. It will oversee our food and safety qualities as soon as the department puts out rules dealing with the edibles. It also has over $20 million worth of federal resources to go after illegal producers of medical marijuana in the state. I would probably imagine that our current commissioner doesn't even know that that exists. And then, also more importantly, you're a member of the cabinet. And I know I've spoken to every one of the governor candidates in the Democratic side talking about medical marijuana and what has happened in the process. And so I know that all of them will be looking to me for leadership, that there's no one in the state that knows kind of the inner workings of the current department, the regulations, and somebody like me. And then, as we all know, we are seeing a huge uptick across the country and interest here in the state as we go into potential legalization. And you also have to deal with the industrial hemp aspect of it as well, which is also underneath the Department of Agriculture already.
For clarification, when you talk about legalization, do you mean recreational use?
It's adult use is what the
terminology. So recreational use by 18 years old or older?
Typically, when we see legalization, we talk about adult use, which is typically 21 and up. But I have been a huge proponent that we keep the two programs separate. You have medical still being a robust program, as well as potential legalization and adult use. That way that the product, if it gets taxed, only taxes the legalization aspect of it and not the medical side for all the patients. And that is something that can create $20 to $30 billion of tax revenue to the state of Florida. That is for to help with our education, our infrastructure.
Hi, I'm Rosemary O'Hara, the editorial page editor of the South Florida Sun Sentinel. You said that recreational marijuana for adults could create $20 to $30 billion in tax revenue for Florida. State budget is $86 billion. So you're saying we could have $30 billion a year just in recreational marijuana?
Recreational and hemp. It's a combination of the two, yes.
I'm 100% for medical marijuana as well as adult use. Now, currently, it does fall underneath the Department of Health, and currently, the standards that are currently in place, well, there aren't any, and that's unfortunate because people are relying on this for as medicine, and as a medicine, I believe it, that aspect should have a good relationship with the Agriculture Department. Now, speaking of hemp, I'm a big believer in hemp because I like to use the example of our citrus industry. The citrus industry has declined dramatically under 7.5 years underneath the current administration. The citrus greening has really hurt the industry. And the fact that the has been proven that this the citrus greening is now in our soil, and one way to actually clean the soil is planting alongside hemp. I'm fully favor on taxing the adult use aspect, but until that becomes legal, it does not fall underneath agriculture.
Mr. Porter?
Well, it's the legislature's responsibility to deal with the voter-approved medical marijuana process that, you know, that's what the voter asked for. They've been dragging their feet and administering the administering medical marijuana out correctly. So that's all driven by the state, not by the Ag Department. As far as it goes with recreational, you know, I oversee a police department. And we've got to deal with some things first with the medical marijuana aspect of it before we start talking about dealing with recreational use. The issue of hemp has been brought up. We've talked about it, you know, with our ag groups in the south end of the state here. There are so many benefits. It's used in construction. It's used in animal feed. And as we look at our ag industry having to retool itself to basically, as the temperature warms, you know, we call it however we're getting here, but it's warmer than it used to be. And so our seasons to be able to get ahead of the rest of the country are shortened.
I'm Nancy Ankrum. I am the editorial page editor of the Miami Herald. Starting with Mr. Walker, can you talk about what needs to be done to protect Florida's agricultural culture here?
Finding the right direction for the citrus is very, very important. Now, the ways to grow that would be, of course, for those who are currently owned at the groves that are currently abandoned, we need programs at a state level to convert those and work with those landowners so they can still remain on that land and still own an income, whether it be switching to a new source of revenue, which could be possibly hemp, or even renewable energy programs, for that example, because renewable energy does fall underneath the Department of Agriculture.
So what we need to be doing is also encouraging not only to citrus, because citrus is one component of our agriculture community. We have local farmers all across the state who are suffering just as much, if not equally. And what's happened in the last 8 years is that there hasn't been as much support throughout the state to go and try to get some national dollars and bring it back. There's also a trust fund inside the Department of Agriculture for Innovation. And that is also not broadcasted, that there's an opportunity for different local growers to go after some of this innovation fund. And also, we have to go up to D.C. And the reality is that the trade wars and tariffs and NAFTA is hurting our agriculture community.
Mr. Porter.
If ag is truly as important to the state as everybody says it is, we need to really take a good hard look at carving out a way to make it survive. And maybe it's not allowing Mexico to import for 30 days or 60 days. Well, we can get our tomatoes out first, or give our farmers a competitive advantage through legislation statewide.
It sounds like you all have different positions on the tariffs and the trade war.
Let me just say this. NAFTA, portions of NAFTA have been beneficial. Mexico has not honored the spirit of NAFTA, and we have not enforced the no dumping aspect of NAFTA. We do export more than we used to through NAFTA, but the unfortunate side effect of what NAFTA did is it has put too much pressure. It's killed the tomato industry in South Florida. We're down to probably 3,000 acres from what was 30,000, and that three will be gone probably in 2 years.
I think it boils down to that our agriculture in the state of Florida, it's a national security issue. That is, if our agriculture department and our agriculture in the state of Florida, it's not, again, just citrus, it is not just our vegetables and our produce, it's also our dairy, it's also our cattle. And if we are not able to have a robust agriculture community here in the state of Florida, then we are becoming reliant on other countries bringing in our food products. I agree with Mayor Porter that NAFTA does need to be renegotiated, especially when it comes to the seasonal produce.
What do you see your role as being, assuming you become Ag Commissioner, in Florida's water issues?
I think that we're instrumental. First is regionalization, is the fact that our departments are not talking to each other. Your DEP, your Department of Agriculture, your water management districts, your local governments are not communicating. And that we need to start there. We need to start saying, you know, what are the best management programs? And things are different between the coastal communities and the central part of our state. We have different water flows, different areas that need different amounts, and stop these regional wars that are between as far as who can use the water. Then we start going towards the actual system in place. You know, we know that, you know, the next 20 years, our population is going to grow by at least 6 million people. And as we continue to have that, we're going to have to continue to draw out our water sources. And so we need to make sure that the infrastructure is also, you know, up to speed. So a lot of our pipes have not been restored in decades. So we need to make sure that there is a potentially, like they do on transportation projects, a fund that is put into place where local governments can take the money out as a loan and then put the money back in once the water projects are done.
As commissioner, your job is to make sure that different industries is using the best management practices, which is voluntary, not mandatory, to make sure they're not polluting our waterway, but they need to be held accountable when they do pollute.
Everyone knows this. We have a wet season, we have a dry season. We have a storage problem as much as we have anything else, because we store the water in the lake to a point where we have to dump it. You got to go back to the beginning of the lake and create storage areas, wetland areas like it used to be. Let that sheet flow of water slowly run into the lake. It'll be cleaner when it gets to the lake, and you do the same thing on the outflow.
I'm Robin Sussingham, and you're listening to Florida Matters. We just heard from Jeff Porter, Nikki Fried, and Roy David Walker, the three Democrats competing for their party's nomination to run for Florida's Commissioner of Agriculture. We'll hear from Republican candidates when we come back from a short break. You're listening to a special Florida Matters featuring interviews with candidates for the Commissioner of Agriculture. I'm Robin Sussingham. Just before the break, we heard from Democrats running in the Ag Commissioner primary. Now we'll hear from two Republican candidates, State Senator Denise Grimsley of Sebring and State Representative Matt Caldwell of North Fort Myers. They were interviewed by Tom Hudson with NPR member station WLRN in Miami and the editorial page editors of the Miami Herald, South Florida Sun Sentinel, and Palm Beach Post. The other two Republicans in the race, retired U.S. Army Colonel Mike McAllister and former State Representative Baxter Troutman of Winter Haven, were invited but could not make the scheduled interview. We begin with the candidates introducing themselves.
Well, my name is Denise Grimsley. I'm a candidate to be your next Commissioner of Agriculture and Consumer Services. I believe that as your next commissioner, you need to meet three qualifications, which I meet all of those. First and foremost, a hands-on background in agriculture. But second, executive experience. And the third qualification is experience in the public sector and the private sector in the finance world. And I believe on the private sector side, you need to understand the cyclical nature of agriculture, which I do by being an agriculture producer. On the public sector side, you should understand how the federal money comes from Washington, how the state trust funds work, but most importantly, where to look for fraud. And I gained that experience by being the budget chairman in the House of Representatives for 2 years when I served there.
Matt Caldwell, running for Commissioner of Agriculture, Consumer Services, and the issues that this office deal with have been my passion the entire time I've served in the Florida House. My background, family's been in Florida since 1826. I've grown up in Fort Myers most of my life. When I got to the House, number one choice was Ag and Natural Resources. Ended up chairing that subcommittee, and then for the last 4 years, the full committee. And as a result, worked on all the issues that really matter to this office. Everglades policy for the last 8 years, statewide water policy, conservation lands and spending. Really the critical domestic issues that this office has to be a leader on.
Hi, I'm Rosemary O'Hara, the editorial page editor of the South Florida Sun Sentinel. You know, there have been state pushbacks on federal efforts to control what's in the water flow. And now we are seeing a crisis in our state. In terms of water policy, what needs to happen?
We have engineered a system to allow 3 million people to live, work, and play in South Florida, and water has to be sent somewhere else. If we don't want it to go to the estuaries, you have to re-engineer that system, or else make 3 million people leave, which is not realistic. The Comprehensive Everglades Restoration Plan is the re-engineering system, 68 projects that will move the water somewhere else. And the tragedy is that we signed that agreement in 99, and until 3 years ago, we did not have any serious commitment to building those projects. The federal government did not meet their 50-50 cost share. We went out and bought, as a state, 400,000 acres in 2000 and 2001 and waited to build these projects. And it was the Legacy Florida bill that I helped pass. $200 million a year now is being spent every year. We're going to build more projects in this five-year window than we did in the previous 40. And that's going to actually make a difference.
Ms. Grimsley.
Lake Okeechobee is a tourist attraction. It is a freshwater lake, and Okeechobee County depends on it for tourism. So the residents want it to be clean. And then you have the issue with the septic tanks all along the Indian River Lagoon. We also have the issue on the West Coast in Crystal River. And the state needs to engage in cleaning those up. The property owners are never going to be able to afford to replace those and put in sewer systems. I think that the commissioner ought to be in Washington championing the things that we need. And what really troubles me the most about this whole water issue and the discharges on both coasts, we've got to sit down and work together because we all want the same thing. And I'll bring up the elephant in the room, which they always talk about, Big Sugar. When I first got elected, we just brought in the Everglades Restoration Plan. Before that happened, Sugar was back pumping water into the lake that was contaminated. So if you're going to blame them for that, for their part in all of this problem, this algae bloom, that would be their biggest part. But we cleaned that up with best management practices, and they are meeting the criteria that they are supposed to meet now. But we have to remember that we have farmers out in the Glades that aren't Big Sugar. They're little farmers that are not just farming sugarcane. They're also farming vegetables and every other thing that you eat at your table. So everybody's got to be at the table.
Commissioner Putnam made a strong case that the state would do a better job of regulating water quality than the federal government. Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that.
And if you do, how do you explain the algae, the nutrients, the phosphorus, the levels that are in this water that are leading to pictures of green slime?
Mm-hmm. Well, you're getting it from a wide variety of places. The septic tanks is a big producer of that. It's runoff is still, but wait, you know, back a few years ago, we still had dairies that were contaminating the Kissimmee River that was going into Okeechobee. We've cleaned that up with best management practices.
If I may ask for just a clarification on the best practices, that has affected the current water quality and the water
Correct.
Quality of the future. You mentioned the back pumping that happened for years of the sugar fields in Palm Beach County. That sludge remains on the lake bed floor. And the science tells us that hurricanes and water coming into the lake stirs all that up. That helps really feed the algae. Does Big Sugar, in your estimation, if elected, have a role to play in addressing the historic pollution that still remains in Lake Okeechobee?
Well, I think they're doing that now, and every other farmer out there, by paying the privilege tax that they pay that's going to the water management districts. And I believe that all of those producers out there are meeting the standards that they are supposed to be meeting and are making every effort to do what they're supposed to do.
Mr. Caldwell?
Yeah, so the bill I ran in 2013 actually made the agricultural privilege tax permanent. That's makes the farmers in the Everglades agricultural area the only landowners in South Florida that pay two taxes to the water management district. Your question about Lake Okeechobee, that question is the longest term, most challenging one. We're talking about the second largest freshwater lake in America. Anybody that was familiar with the cleanup efforts we did in Lake Trafford, you can get some scale of what we're talking about. The Lake Trafford is roughly one-tenth, maybe, the size of Lake Okeechobee. It took us 15 years.
Howard Goodman, editorial writer of the Palm Beach Post.
With the citrus industry in such sharp decline, with development pressures always encroaching on agricultural lands, what is your vision as Agriculture Commission on how to improve agriculture in this state?
Well, I think, you know, as a citrus grower myself, as an agriculture producer, I know that we all get pressures from two sides. We get it from development, but we also get it from government when they go in and buy up land that they then don't use. For citrus industry specifically is, number one, the Rural and Family Lands Program, which is in the Department of Agriculture. It allows producers, agriculture producers, to sell their development rights, and they keep farming, so it stays on the tax rolls. You can use it for water storage. I mean, there's a wide variety of things, conservation easements, all kinds of things, but it keeps it on the tax rolls and it keeps it farming, and it will never be developed. That's the number one program. We have struggled with funding for that program in the last few years. I believe the commissioner should be in front of these legislative committees talking about how important that is. And to my knowledge, I do not remember in my 14 years in the legislature having a commissioner come in and talk about that program. Now, we've had presentations from the department, but not the commissioner. I think the commissioner ought to be more engaged in talking about what's really going on out in the public. And then I'm also going to address citrus greening, which is the one thing that's really impacted the citrus industry. Now, for those of us in the industry, we've learned how to manage as much as we can. The state needs to continue the funding to the University of Florida and IFAS for the research, because we do need to find a resistant rootstock to that disease going forward. And there's going to be more diseases down the road.
Yeah, the agricultural profile in Florida is really developing into two different categories. You've got producers that are competing in global commodities, citrus, beef, the kind of things that you're dealing with producers at every corner of the world, and you have to be very large in order to meet the margins that you have to achieve to make that profitable. What you've also got is a growing industry of very locally relevant producers, whatever their niche is, whether it's organic or just being hyper-local, having their own farmers market, using the agritourism law to achieve that in their own property, or selling to restaurants. And what the department needs to do is make sure you're supporting both of those scenarios.
I'm Nancy Ankrum. I'm the editorial page editor of the Miami Herald. Can you talk about the impact that you are seeing on the tariffs and NAFTA on state agriculture?
Well, again, I think that's a legitimate function of the commissioner to be in Washington a lot. You know, I mean,
what would you say in Washington?
Well, right now, under the current situation, I mean, I believe that the president is negotiating from a position of strength. When NAFTA was passed, it was very much skewed to the Midwestern states, and it's really negatively impacted our tomato farmers. And the commissioner needs to be out ahead of that, making sure Florida really is at the table and we're not just listening to the Midwestern states, because again, we have 300 commodities in the state of Florida. It's very much different than what Washington is used to seeing.
Yeah, this is a huge issue for Florida. You know, first of all, understanding that free trade is valuable and free trade benefits both parties. The problem is the only actual free trade agreement we have is the Constitution. You've got 50 operators, all of which operate under a common currency, a common set of laws, and have no tariffs between their borders. Even NAFTA designated free trade, there are multiple commodities both in Canada and Mexico that are protected in both directions. It's still not a true free trade agreement. What I can say with absolute certainty is if we don't change it, we will not have a commodity-level scale production of fresh fruits and vegetables in Florida.
Do you think concealed weapons licensing should be in the Department of Agriculture, or does that make more sense to go into law enforcement agency?
Well, I'm going to remind you, the Department of Agriculture is a law enforcement agency, so I think it's an appropriate place for it to be. But I will say about that program, over the past few years, we have seen those permits grow exponentially. And I think with the issue that we have just seen, that impacted that issue. I think, you know, when you have a problem like that, it's one or two things. It's a people problem or it's a process problem. And I believe that situation, it was both. And I believe coming in as a new commissioner, I would do this in all divisions, actually, not just concealed weapons permits, but do a full audit of the department and determine where did that ball get dropped? How did that happen? Because somewhere in there, if you were approving so many permits with none being kicked back, someone should have asked themselves, something's going on here. We should have had a rejection somewhere. And so there's got to be that safety check. But after doing a full audit, what I would change in the organizational structure is having that director of that division, whoever that might be going forward, report directly to the commissioner, because I believe it's that important.
I do think the people expect this specific responsibility to be accountable to an elected official, not to a government employee. And so the direct accountability and the ability for people to evaluate as they are right now, what you saw in this experience was, one, the incredible uptick in interest. You took a program that I think at the start of Commissioner Putnam's term had somewhere around 400,000 to 500,000 permittees, and it's now at 2 million just after 8 years.
Are you satisfied with the pace with which the People's Amendment to get medical marijuana into the state has been going? And two, do you support any form of legalization for recreational marijuana?
I do not support recreational marijuana. I think the Department of Health is doing a very bad job implementing the amendment, the law as it is. And I do believe that it is an agriculture, a legitimate agriculture crop going forward. Now, do we ever move it?
But you don't have to support the legalization, so.
I don't support legalization of recreational marijuana, but I fully support medicinal marijuana. Being a nurse, I can tell you that is a class one narcotic. And it should be treated as such. That's something else the commissioner ought to be working with the federal government on, because the federal government law, the way it is what makes it difficult to implement it in the state. If we could fix the federal piece, it would be so much easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't support recreational. I helped co-write the Charlotte's Web bill in 2014. I helped develop the expectations, the standards of you got to have a $5 million bond to be in the business. We don't want fly-by-night Cheech and Chongs flying, coming in and trying to open up head shops all over the place, because ultimately we're asking people to partner with the state of Florida to commit what is currently a federal crime. So you've got to have folks that are going to be ready to handle the challenges of how do you process the banking transactions, how do you move the product potentially if it has any interstate movement. And I think we did ultimately develop a system that allowed that product to get into the market, and it is in the market. You can get the low THC marijuana in every part of the state now. What I would like to see is more licensees to meet the market demand for those products. I do think DOH, I know DOH did not want to have this responsibility. It's clear from how they've handled it since the day we gave it to them that they didn't want to have this responsibility. If that attitude continues with whoever's the next governor, I'd be more than happy to take over the program wholly inside the Department of Agriculture.
That was State Representative Matt Caldwell and State Senator Denise Grimsley, two of four candidates competing for the Republican nomination for Commissioner of Agriculture. You can hear all of today's discussion on our website, WUSFnews.org. Just click on the Florida Matters tab. And tune in next Tuesday for live coverage of Florida's primary election. Join us at 8 p.m. for an hour-long Florida Matters election special. Florida Matters is produced by Stephanie Colombini and is a production of WUSF Public Media. I'm Robin Sussingham. Thanks for listening.